have some fun.
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoon.
Oh, I love that.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
We're going to be buddies. We're going to be pals.
Bingo. Oh, how fun.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
Powered by Paramount Elite ICS.
The best double play combination in Stark County.
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
Let's go.
Doesn't it feel weird like it's only Thursday, but it seems like either it should be Friday or Saturday? I'm all discombobulated today.
Feels like a Sunday to me. We're 5 hours away from kickoff. Let's go.
I mean, it does feel really strange. The Browns are playing a game tonight at First Energy Stadium, and some good news today. Not all doom and gloom like it was yesterday with all the news with the Browns. Jarvis Landry going to suit up and play for the Browns tonight at wide receiver. That's a positive, right, for Case Keenum?
Go ahead.
Jedrick Wills is going to start the game tonight. Now, whether...
See, that's why I saved it. Because just because these two are going to play doesn't mean they're anywhere close to 100%.
Right.
I guess it's good news, but do you really expect Jedrick Wills to finish that game?
No, I don't. So they'll start him at left tackle. Blake Hance at right. James Hudson will be waiting in the wings for whenever Jed Wills can't go anymore, right? So, but at least he's going to give it a go against Von Miller and see if he can hold him down for a quarter or two. And then Odell Beckham Jr., I read a story yesterday where he was out. Guess what? He isn't officially out. Mm-hmm. He is now a game-time decision for the Browns tonight. And what did I tell you yesterday? National TV? OBJ loves national TV.
It's more than that, Kenny. What if he has any success, like I told you?
Yeah.
If he has any success with Case Keenum, oh, Lord, look out.
Well, yeah, if those two are able to connect, not once, but maybe twice for touchdowns or something like that, can you imagine the talk tomorrow morning on all the shows, including ours in the afternoon tomorrow, that, well, look at OBJ. He's able to connect with Case Keenum. He can't do it with Baker Mayfield, so what's going on there?
That's one way to get to the bottom of it. Think about it. When OBJ didn't play, everybody said, oh, Baker Mayfield's better without him. What if OBJ is better without Baker Mayfield?
Interesting. Yeah. I never thought of it that because we haven't seen that yet, right?
That's right.
We've seen the flip of that Baker, at least in my opinion, looks to be a better QB when OBJ doesn't play. What if OBJ?
I'm just saying, you got to think about it, don't you?
It's fair.
With everything that's gone wrong so far this season, let's make sure that we know and we understand that most of it is due to injury. But what if it's deeper than that? What if he is better with Case Keenum? Case Keenum's been in the league a long time. He's, what is he, 33 years old, product of the Houston Cougars. I don't even think he was a draft pick. I think he was a free agent.
I don't remember,
to
be perfectly honest. I know he played at Houston, right? That's all I know because we did the trivia question at Jerseys.
I do know this. In 2017, when he took the Vikings to the NFC Championship game, he was their third option. He was behind Teddy Bridgewater.
Okay.
He was behind, what's the guy's name, Brad, the Heisman Trophy winner from Oklahoma, the high draft pick.
Sam Bradford.
He was behind Sam Bradford. He was the third string quarterback.
Was he really?
And he had probably, arguably, the best success with that team. Now, that might be because other teams didn't know how to prepare for him.
Right.
But maybe that's the same thing we'll run into tonight, other than the fact that they kind of know each other. He played there in Denver. He played with Von Miller. He knows him. He played with Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's right. So he's got some relationships on the other side of it. So you and I were talking before the show, JT. This is a game tonight, regardless of who suits up, who starts, who finishes or doesn't finish, whatever. This team and their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, have to put a game plan together to just win this game by 1 point. You just want to come out of First Energy Stadium tonight with a W. Yeah. You don't care if it's ugly, if it's pretty, if it's high scoring or low scoring, if it's all defense. What you just have to find a way to win this game tonight at home and get to 4-3. That's all that matters.
Yeah, we'd like him to win by a point and a half.
Is it down to a point and a half?
That's
is
what it went. That's really? What I, last time I saw it, it was at a point and a half.
It started at 6.
Yeah. Well, that's you had all these injuries.
I know. I'm just saying, though, that's a big-time drop.
Their entire starting backfield is injured.
Yeah, that's true. Chubb's out. Hunt's out. Baker's out. OBJ, we don't
their
know.
Their fullback is even out.
Yeah, that's right. Andy Janovich, he's out. You got Stanton, I think is his name, coming in as the backup fullback.
I'll tell you something else. You've got 18 tight ends on that team. Maybe you throw a different wrinkle in the backfield. Maybe you throw one of those guys back there as a lead blocker.
All right.
How does that hurt?
That can't hurt you, right?
It's a chess match. It's a chess match. In any game, it's a chess match, right?
Yeah.
But it never rang so true as now, because now, I guess, look, I don't really want to say and come out and say this is a must win. For all intents and purposes, we know that it pretty much is.
Yeah.
But it really isn't, because if this team can get healthy, and that's a pretty big if, because like we said, even with Jed Wills playing tonight, doesn't mean he's healthy. And I think it's more important maybe to sacrifice this game and see if he can be healthy for the long haul, starting in 2 weeks, 10 days, whatever it is, against the Steelers. Because if he goes out tonight, re-injures the ankle, and misses the Steeler game, look, you probably have a better chance of beating the Denver Broncos with backups than you will beating the Steelers in the remainder of your schedule.
Yeah. I was surprised that, you know, that when I was driving in on Cleveland Browns Daily today, I was listening, and they said he's going to give it a go. I know Conklin's out, so that we know that for sure. Okay, great. Get him ready if you're the Browns for the Steelers game on the 31st. But for Jed Wills, maybe that time off from last week helped him. Who knows? But if I were a betting man, and I could go to BetAG or BetOnline.ag or
stay
wherever.
Stay away from it. That's a trap game.
Well, no. Here's what I'm saying. If I could get a prop bet, over under, how many quarters does Jed Wills play tonight? The over under is 1.5. What do you say? Do you take the over or do you take the under
on
Jed
Wills? I'm not going down that road
again.
The last time we talked to, I believe it was Daryl Ryder, and I asked him a question on that level. He said, I will never bet against a player getting injured. And it upset me. He was right. I'll never do that.
Okay. Well, I would bet the under on that. I think he's going to start maybe last the first quarter. And then if he has to play two whole quarters, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. But if they get a quarter and a half out of him and they score 14 points on offense because of that, and then he's got to take the rest of the game off, that's fine.
It's just on you. I will never root or cheer for a man to get injured.
I'm not saying I'm rooting for it.
You will if you put your money down.
No, I'm just.
If you bet the
it's
under,
it's a prop bet. You know what I mean? So yeah,
that's
there
you your
go.
Money.
You know, so I don't want him
I
to
won't
get
go
hurt.
There. I won't touch it.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, you can bet on those things.
I won't touch it. It's unethical for me to even talk about it.
All right, okay.
We sitting here with a busted up hand.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're on the side of the injured, so
right.
You understand.
That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. There you go.
I'm on the side of every injured player, and I will make them pay. Am I allowed to say that?
You just did.
Is that like one of those things like, let's get ready to, you know what? I will make them pay.
He is a lawyer, Tim Misney.
I know.
He may sue you for that. I'm not going to say it.
I got Gus on my side. We'll take him.
Okay. All right. Tim Misney. Can you raise the eyebrow like he does when
no,
he says that?
No. I'm almost as bald as him, though.
That's a big dude, though, too. Have you
looks
ever seen?
Like it. Yeah.
He's a large dude, and he's got that black pinstripe suit on and everything, and then he goes with the Rock's people's eyebrow.
Brian Wilson, Texas Longhorn.
Brian
Wilson, the Texas Longhorn.
Get him to fight for me.
Challenge of justice.
Come on. The do wheelies. You got to play the do wheelies part, Brian. That's the best part of that whole spot from Brian Wilson.
No, Cone, they are do wheelies. Due process, due wheelies.
There we go.
It's hot out here.
Brian
Wilson.
That is so dumb.
Lawhawk.
Brian Wilson, Texas Lawhawk.
Yeah, there's our second favorite lawyer next to Tim Misney. All right,
no,
there you
next
go.
To Gus.
Third favorite
cousin
lawyer.
Cousin Eugene.
Yeah, Gus won,
boy,
Tim Misney
you're getting
Misney
in trouble
too.
Now.
I am.
Brian Zimmerman's out there somewhere.
Okay.
John Jewell retired now.
So he's retired, so
that's right.
He moves off the list.
You know what they call him?
What?
The people's guest.
Is that what it is?
Dude graduated from Penn State, and then he got his law degree God only knows where, and he's the greatest guy ever. This man gets invited to every golf outing known to mankind.
Really?
Yes.
Celebrity.
He's a celebrity now. He's retired.
He's a celebrity, as Gus Johnson would say.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. Retired celebrity. He gets to golf whenever he wants, wherever he wants, for free. And that's the key.
Yeah, they're not doing anything today on a day like this.
No, it's a crappy day out right now. Maybe it gets better. Brian, do we have the weather forecast for tonight's game? Did you even look at that? I know we don't have normally
supposed to clear.
No, you know, rain delays or anything, unless there's lightning and whatnot. Yeah, I dropped the whatnot in there early on in the show here, but... You know, let's see.
Wait,
here
you go. Hold on.
Okay.
Tonight's temperature forecast, the low of 5 degrees above. So, Phillips, Ohio,
that,
super
Ryan.
Gasoline.
That's or not it.
That's not good.
That's false broadcasting.
Ohio,
stop him. Tell him to shut up. That's false advertising there. False five information.
Degrees. It's going
to
be chilly, actually.
Let's see. Tonight's kickoff is what? 8 o'clock is when we have kickoff tonight?
8:20.
8:20. Cleveland, Ohio, 8:20 p.m., 59 degrees. Winds at 20 miles per hour, 15% chance of rain tonight at kickoff.
Okay.
And we shouldn't have rain during the game. Should be good, no rain, but going to be windy and in the 50s
good.
Tonight. There
good.
You go. And then for our game tomorrow night, how about this? Huge Federal League game tomorrow night. Jackson at Hoover, 51 degrees tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for kickoff, 12% chance of rain, so that's good. And then you jump ahead to Saturday afternoon, 55 degrees for McKinley and Maslin.
Nice.
20% chance of rain on Saturday. So hopefully the rain stays away for all three games. We're in the 50s. It's football weather, man. It's the fall in Northeast Ohio, right?
Yeah, it's perfect. Last week when we were doing the tailgate at Centennial Plaza, I got to tell you, when you come out of the summer that we had and it was 90 degrees for like 3 weeks straight,
right?
It got down to about 55 and I was freezing.
Yeah, I brought a hoodie tonight and a rain windbreaker jacket to put on over top just in case if I'm hanging outside on the patio jerseys with the Browns back.
It's heated. You don't need all that stuff.
No,
stay on the inside portion. Stay away from the cigarette smokes. I know it bothers you.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Do I go in? Well, if they shut the doors, they can't smoke inside. They got to go outside.
They won't shut them.
So
it's too warm. They won't shut them.
55 is too warm for them to shut the?
Dude, I've been there when it's like 45.
Okay, all right. All right, so I'll deal with it. You know what I try and do? I sit halfway in, halfway out. That way, if the doors are open, I'm covered.
Take that fan with you that you've got in Studio D or whatever it is you're at.
Yeah.
And let it blow it right out of there.
Oh, I could do that. Yeah, like an exhaust fan
or
whatever it is. So, so a lot of football going on. But I want to talk about this. I want to talk some Cavaliers basketball because I got to watch the game last night.
How'd you get this thing?
How about that?
Out?
Yeah, Bally Sports Great Lakes did YouTube and Bally's hook up on a deal? No. But a buddy of mine hooked me up with a way to watch the game last night. So I was able to watch from start to finish the Cavaliers and the Memphis Grizzlies last night.
I saw the final score. I meant to watch it, but I started watching Survivor, got right into the Masked Singer, and forgot all about it. And then I got the alert on my phone, and I see they lose 132 to 121. Here's a problem that I've got with it, and then tell me exactly how they played.
Okay, all right.
They're not good enough to win again. When you win 120 points in the NBA, shouldn't you win?
No, not in today's NBA. Not necessarily. No.
So they play absolutely zero defense then?
Correct. They gave up 73 points in the first half.
But how did they look scoring 121?
They were inconsistent. They fell behind by, you know, double digits numerous times, giving up 16-2 runs, 21-2 runs, and stuff like that. Then they came back. They got it to within 1 point in the fourth quarter. Yeah, and then, again, Memphis went on one of their runs. Ja Morant was the difference. Dude is a superstar in the making.
37 points.
Ja Morant, the real deal, dude. He had an alley-oop dunk. He had a dipsy-do move that was Michael Jordan-esque. From the left side to the right side, and he was the difference. But I watched because I wanted to see Evan Mobley, the third overall pick in the draft, how he would do in his first game. And JT, he fit in, man. The moment wasn't too big for him. The game wasn't too big for him. He didn't seem too nervous. 17 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and a block shot for Evan Mobley in his debut, and I think he played the most minutes of any Cavalier last night.
Well, they're not necessarily going up against a juggernaut in the Memphis Grizzly, though, right?
Well, I mean, that's a playoff team. Grizzlies, let me rephrase that. They were either a playoff team or a play-in team from last year, the Memphis Grizzlies. And they gave up, like I said, 73 points in the first half. They had two good quarters, two bad quarters, right?
Okay, here's a big question.
What's that?
Kevin Love get hurt?
No. He played 17 minutes at 4 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, didn't get hurt.
Which goes against everything I said about Jedrick Wills. I am not rooting for Kevin Love to get hurt.
Oh,
I was just simply asking the question.
Okay.
Did he or did he not get injured? I would never wager that Kevin Love doesn't make it through the West Coast swing here.
You would not wager on that.
But if it was on the board, I'd look at it. I would be really interested to see what that number was.
They come home to play Charlotte tomorrow, and then they go out for, what, six games on the left coast?
I would never bet on that.
But you're thinking about it.
Brian, give me that line on Kevin Love.
What's the over-under?
Does he get traded before he comes home? That I might
bet. Okay. All right, yeah. Lauri Markkanen, not a good debut as a Cavalier. 4 of 14 from the field for 10 points. Yeah. Darius Garland, not a good first game, 5 of 15 from the field. How about Jared Allen, though? 11 of 11. He didn't miss a shot yesterday. He made all 11 shots, and now 25. A lot of them are close. You know, dunks, putbacks, you know, layups, but still, 11 of 11 is 11 of 11. You know, he looked halfway decent.
Good.
This team, though, it's going to be a lot of mixing and matching, like Chris Fedor said yesterday when he was on with us with J.B. Bickerstaff. And I thought J.B. Bickerstaff did not do a good job down the stretch when they got to within one with his offense-defense moves.
Well, that's just it. If you can't rely on a regular lineup and you know what to do in those situations, then it's going to be a mishmash the entire time until you find out something that you can rely on and guys that can mesh together. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Is it the new NBA that we don't have a regular lineup every day? We talk about the same thing in baseball.
Yeah.
We'd like to see the same rotation. We'd like to see the same outfielders. We don't always get that. We get righty-lefty matchups and all this other crap. And on a daily basis, you might not know who's going to be your right or left fielder. Is that going to be the Cavaliers lineup that on a daily basis, maybe based on the matchups,
yep,
we're not going to know who's playing?
Absolutely. Until he finds one he feels extremely comfortable with or thinks is the best lineup for them. JT,
Which tells me there isn't a best lineup.
Not right now, no. They don't know what that is.
Okay.
They don't know what that is. The lineup that started last night, it was all about the bigs.
They
went with three seven-footers.
No. Coach, that's all we got. Everybody's 7 feet tall.
I love it.
You want a dipsy, what'd you call it, a dipsy-doo?
Dipsy-doo. Look, now you see me, now you doesn't. One of those, right?
We don't have anybody for a dipsy-doo.
Yeah.
Can Colin Sexton get the net?
Yeah, he can dunk.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, he can dunk.
5-5 by that.
117-116 with 2.5 minutes to go. They got it to within one. 119-118 with 1:43 left. And then John Morant drove and made a floating jump shot. What happened there was J.B. Bickerstaff did not go offense, defense. He should have had Isaac Okoro in to guard him. Instead, he had Colin Sexton on him, and he blew by Sexton like he was standing still. And so, you know, you got it to within 1 point twice and were unable to get over the hump there. And part of it was coaching. Maybe he wanted to see if Sexton could handle it going mano-a-mano against Ja Morant because Sexton thinks he's as good as Ja Morant, and he's not.
Well, the problem is this. In the NBA especially, there are sometimes comebacks. But for the most part, when you're down a lot, double digits like you said they were, they exude too much energy to try to cut down that lead. And once they get it to close even or one down, they've shot it. They're done. They're spent.
Colin hit a three to get him to within one. And then, let's see here, who else made a basket for the Cavaliers? Ja Morant hit one, and then Ja Morant hit another, and then Ja Morant hit another. He went like on a personal 8-2 scoring run to close this baby out. So I watched the entire game, though, JT. I wanted to see Mobley. I wanted to see the lineup rotations and whatnot. I wasn't impressed with Lauri Markkanen at all. Ricky Rubio had some good moments, but he also had some bad moments, okay?
We're not at that level yet. We haven't won a Dooley squat.
And you're correct, AC. 100% on that.
Now you see me, and now you do.
Dippity-doo.
Dipsy-doo? What do you do? There you go, Michael John. John Michael, my bad. We're going to see this on a regular basis. It's going to be like the outfield with the Indians. That's a great analogy on your part.
Well, there goes your growth. You thought you grew from last year. You maybe added a piece of part here. No, yes, they did. They told you last year we were going to be just like, what was it, the Atlanta Hawks. Aren't we supposed to be poised to make a run to the playoffs now?
Well, absolutely.
We only needed to add a piece here and a part there.
That's what Kobe Altman said. We're a better comparison with the Hawks, not the Phoenix Suns. So that means they should play in the championship, the Eastern Conference championship.
From what you said, it sounds like they took a step backwards.
No. First game, JT, I'm going to give them.
They won the first game last year.
That does, yeah, I'm not worried about wins and losses right now because we ain't done a dually squat. I'm not worried about that. I want to see who plays well with who and figure out the lineup that should start every night and then the rotation that comes in. And I'm going to give them about 15 games to try and figure that out. Okay?
Well, that's what I'm trying to point out is the fact that at least at the end of the year last year, you knew what you had, and now you're starting off a season. Even though they're young and some of the guys are still there, you would think they'd have a better handle on who the rotation, who the lineup should be.
Think about it. You're starting a rookie. So that's there's going to be ups and downs, right? You're starting a guy you traded for, new face, in Lauri Markkanen. Now, does that remain the same moving forward? We'll see. Right. Kevin Love may end up getting back in to the starting lineup if Markkanen is unable to knock down triples, okay? So that's something to keep an eye. I'll guarantee you this. The two guys that will be three guys that will be guaranteed spots all year long. Darius Garland at point guard. Evan Mobley at the 3, 4, or 5, more than likely the 4, and Jared Allen at the 5. Okay? Those three will be in the starting lineup, I think, the entire season. So it's shooting guard and either small forward or power forward, depending on how they want to play it.
It's our big three, huh?
We got the big three. Jared Allen's and Evan Mobley's and Darius Garland.
All right, let me do this. Go ahead.
All right.
It's time for Kickoff Cash.
All right, everybody, pay attention. Kickoff Cash word right now is ineligible. I-N-E-L-I-G-I-B-L-E. Ineligible. Now go to WHBC.com, submit the word for your chance to win $1,000. Good luck.